The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
No man, no weapon formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know the voice already. It's Leaving Mother. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is that you people do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do, I'm happy that you do that with me. I had a show plan, I promise you. I had a show plan. I wanted to talk to a local Bahamian fisherman to find out what is the update 6 months later regarding the legislation that has prohibited non-Bahamians from fishing in the Bahamas, right? He and I had come to a general consensus that it is going to be something that the government has to approach a bit more meticulously. And the reason is because, you know, the government has in their efforts, and I must commend the National Training Institute for what it is they were trying to do with the implementation of a dive academy over there at the National Training Center. Let me send a special shout out to Chief Petty Officer Thomas Williams. I think that's his name. You know, you never really know their names. I know his alias, AKA One Dolomite, who I understand was down there championing the cause of the dive academy over at the National Training Agency. But we have come to the conclusion that it's going to take more than just divers, right? Because you need to make sure that people have more than just the skill of being able to get in and out of the water. People need to be able to navigate properly. They need to know seamanship principles. They need to know boat handling skill principles. They need to know what to look for beneath the surface of the water in their attempt to find fish, where to find lobsters, where to find conchs, where to find scale fish, where to find big scale fish, where to find small scale fish, and things like that. When to expect the schools, which direction to go in looking for the schools, and that sort of stuff. And so I did have a Bahamian fisherman that should have been joining me this morning, but I don't know if there's a conflict in his calendar or my calendar, but he is not here. That said, I'm going to have an open line show this morning. You can call me 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, because this is the Bahamas and we're a developing nation, and so there's always things here to talk about. And so I kind of want to talk about this morning, Gawin Bo, in the newspaper this morning, suggesting that the Bahamas has got to have a clearly laid out management strategy for our fiscal year as our country approaches the 100% debt to GDP margin, right? And I'll tell you what's so interesting. It's funny to me that this is a conversation that we are having now, as I think the debt is somewhere around $9.8 billion, right? What is funny is I remember about a year and a half ago when member of parliament, and member of parliament that is for Pine Ridge, and FNM member of parliament for Pine Ridge, Frederick McAlpine, suggested then that based on what he had seen, based on the low or no performance from the government, it was easy to surmise or to assume that by the time as we got to the end of the fourth year of this administration, that it wouldn't be the $7.8 billion that they had suggested, but that the deficit could be somewhere around $9 billion. And would you look at it, Frederick McAlpine, one more time, was correct, right? And so for me now, as a layman, because I don't claim to be any sort of magical economist, right? Although many of them hypothesize about things that I think are somewhere up in the stratosphere that nobody can ever really put a handle on. I'm trying to figure out now, as an economy like ours, where 70% of our economy is based on foreign direct investment via tourism, how do we navigate ourselves from here? What exactly do we have to do now to get ourselves out of here? And I will tell you what I do not hear. And this is just me as the layman. I see I have a call on the line. I don't know what they want to talk to me about, but let's take the call. Come on, caller, you're on. Caller, you there?
Yes, good morning. How are you, Leland?
I'm well.
Good. I know you just said it's open line.
It is.
Okay, good. You know what has been bothering me for the last couple of months I've been giving this thought to is the magistrate court.
Mm-hmm.
The magistrate has been stuck in the medieval times from that time. I say that to say this. They have a limit of $5,000. That is the maximum you can get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you got teenagers walking around with $5,000 in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would free up the court a little bit more if they go up to $10,000, $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having a limit, because anything over $5,000, you got to take to the Supreme Court.
Right.
So I think we need to look at that and change that, because the average person today, they may not have that money in the bank, but they could find $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, increase that to about $10,000 or $15,000, so it'll free up the Supreme Court with all the trivial matters.
Hmm. You know, you may be onto something. I'll tell you why. Because I don't even know why. Is it set to $5,000? Is that like...
No, we don't know.
Is that something universal? I've never checked into that. I could actually inquire about that.
Somebody woke up one day and just said maybe 200 years ago, $5,000 is the limit for the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what is causing the backlog. Because I gave that some thought because I've been going to court for a couple of things lately. And it would free up, and the little trivial thing, or the little dollar or two over, you got to take the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is already backed up for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they would go to $10,000 or $15,000, somebody got to recognize these antiquated laws have to change. Because the average person, they could mash up one of these little cars today and get one next week.
Yeah. And if they mash up your car that's not as disposable as their car, you now have a situation where you cannot recoup.
Let's say your car is $7,000. You now got to go to Supreme Court 2 years to get a date in Supreme Court.
Mm.
So I think somebody should take a look at that. All these educated lawyers we have, or so-called educated lawyers.
Mm. I'm actually going to look into that. Because, I know that the rule is $5,000, but... You know, it's kind of like, have you ever heard the story of the woman that used to cut the head off of the fish? And her daughter says, Mommy, why do you cut the head off of the fish? And she said, well, I don't know. Grammy used to cut the head off of the fish. So she goes to the Grammy and says, Grammy, why do you cut the head off of the fish? She said, well, I know. I get that from your great-grammy. And so, luckily, great-grandmother was alive. And she says, great-grandmother, why do you cut the head off the fish when you fry it? And she said, child, to be quite honest, when I was a girl, we had very small plates. And the whole fish couldn't fit on the plate. So we used to cut the head off so that the fish could fit. Right? And so I think we have the same situation happening here with us in the magistrate's court where, there is a practice that the magistrate court only goes up to $5,000. But I know for a fact that there are small claims courts all over the world, right? But I don't know why is it not $6,000? Why is it not $4,000? Like, how did they decide that $5,000 was the amount. I don't know if anyone is out there that can help me with that. They could probably give me
right.
some.
Common sense should tell, even if it's just one lawyer, mm-hmm. all these little trivial things, some of them could be sorted out in magistrate court instead of going to the Supreme Court and waiting 2 years to get mm-hmm. a date.
To their credit, I see that they have tried to return some power to the magistrate's court. Maybe this could be another, prong in the fight towards reducing the backlog in the Supreme Court. All right, if you remember, people had to go to the Supreme Court to get bail, right? They have right. now reverted that, and that power now rests back with the magistrate. So who right. knows? I mean, maybe we may be on the way back to some, sense. Hopefully. But I don't know why it is that.
Because the other day, somebody was charged for killing in the course of dangerous driving. And I think the fine was $250.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody, they need to get a team of lawyers to sit down. And it's them who keep back causing the system to be the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the school they go to, what I realize that is not included in their judgment, common sense.
You don't think that included in the curriculum?
No, that ain't in the curriculum. No, sir. Can't be.
Maybe it's because they assume that they come there with that.
Because somebody like me could sit down and see the problem with that and how it's bottlenecking the court.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anything about law. And if I could come to that decision or give that some thought and come up with this, to say this to you, that means I got a little bit of common sense.
Mm. Well, we would have to find out, caller. Let's not to discredit them, right? We would have to find out what was the spirit of the intention when they set it at $5,000? And when we find that out, then we know why it can or cannot be done.
Yeah, but look how long that has been in place.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is changing. Everything is going up. We are now adapting to the children with their pants dropping down.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things are changing, man. Mm. So you can't say, even if it was that way 100 years ago, let's change it.
Sure. I agree with you.
Okay, that's my input for today.
Thank you very much. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. It's an open line, but, I appreciate calls like that one because I believe that they help to make the democracy better. That is true. I have no clue why is the magistrate's court set at $5,000. There are a lot of learned men out there. If you're out there and you're listening to me, please call because I don't know. I could Google it, but I don't want to do that on air. I could always come back tomorrow with the answer for you. Now, back to what I was saying. So I see Gawin Bo. Who happens to be one of the financial oracles in the Bahamas. It always makes me smile when they say, Gawin Bo say. They do that to people around here. Dr. Miles Monroe say. Dr. Gilbert Morris say. Right? And I always ask people, did anybody say anything else? Or are we just going to accept it? But for whatever it's worth, he's a talented chap. And I think he usually offers pretty decent ideas. But for the layman, right? I don't know if I see the kind of practical solutions like the caller just suggested coming out of a lot of these assessments. I don't care what kind of debt management strategy we have. I think it is time for us to, as a country, invest some money in real statistical data. I think one of the problems we have in this country, with the way we service our debt, with the way we do our development is, we do not take enough censuses, if you ask me. Is that the right word? We do not ensure that the money is being spent correctly. We seem to like this notion that you can throw large quantities of money in a direction, all in the name of national development, and that the people ought to be happy about it. So you say things to me like, we spent $2.2 million a week in order to be able to feed people. But when you check the efficacy, right? When you realize how far that actually went, how much of it was in management, how much of it was in administrative costs, how much of it was actual wastage, right? Like how much of it was for things that people in the Bahamas do not eat? Like did you all carry Spam to people's houses? Because Bahamians don't eat that stuff, right? And so these are the kinds of things that I think we have to actually try and streamline. I don't disagree with Mr. Bo. I think we are going to have to come up with a debt management plan. I don't know if he goes as far enough as to suggest things like cutting the public service, which I don't exactly disagree with. I think the time may have come for all agencies, with the exception of maybe your armed forces, for us to reduce the public service. And I think the pandemic has proven to us that there's literally no need for us to continue to have massive amounts of people. Now, what I am hopeful of is that if we can get people out of the service and give them their packages, some of them that are entitled to packages, hopefully that would spur, in my mind, economic maneuvers that would then turn into things. Like, people with money in their pocket will do things. That is what I imagine. And so I'm trying to figure out, you as the audience out there, what exactly are you looking for coming out of this next budget? This administration has one more chance to go at a budget. They're going to borrow money again. I see that they just got $100 million from the World Bank approved in emergency funding. The last $600 million that they got, we knew that that would not last very long. $600 million is not a lot of money in when we consider it in terms of governance. And so we need a plan. Tourism won't be back at full steam for a long time. We cannot go to farming on any real level because that farming doesn't happen overnight. And so even the people that I see or hear talking about the viability of marijuana and the industry of marijuana, blah, 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 blah. Listen, marijuana isn't just going to fall from the sky and grow overnight. You're not just going to end up with 7-foot marijuana trees overnight. It's going to take time. But we need to figure out how do we not strangle the standard or style of living of Bahamians, but in the same breath of air, reduce the expenditure in a way that causes people to begin to think about how or why we do things the way we do things. And so here's my thought. My thought is, I don't know what the budget of the Bahamas, of the Statistics Department of the Bahamas is, but whatever that is, I think we need to ramp that up. Why? I think we need to look at how we do schools. We need to look at how we do roadways. We need to look at where we put street lightings. We need to look at what else is around here that I think is a complete abuse and waste of money. There's just so many things. They're like, when you consider the way public service hierarchies are set up, you have permanent secretary, undersecretary, secretary to the undersecretary. There must be a better way for us to consider how we go about doing that. Because if we can change the way we do housing, for instance, right? This notion that I see the government is now getting ready to give everybody a piece of property 90 by 100 and build them or give them 2 years to build. Like, does the census suggest that that is the direction that Bahamians need to go in? Or are Bahamians at a place now where they need smaller homes that are more manageable? What do the numbers suggest? I can tell you, as somebody that lives in an original South Beach home, where originally there were 7 children in that house, that today, that same house is almost financially unmanageable for 1 or 2 persons. So what now does the new Bahamian need? Does the reason we continue to do so poorly in our deficit or in our budgeting, is it because we continue to budget for a Bahamas that no longer exists, right? So we don't build models that Bahamians of today can actually use. We don't build models that Bahamians of today actually can be a part of. And so we end up with the government doing a whole lot of stuff, $50 million in the SBDC, that no one really knows how to access. And that the people that know how to access it don't really know what to do when they access it. So they access it only to be denied. And then that money kind of just ends up back in the consolidated fund doing something else. Is there money around here that we haven't tapped into? I heard yesterday that they were saying that the way Mr. Turnquest did the financing was, you know, he kind of created little sink funds so that when it was time to service debt in the long run, there would be money there. But is there a more efficient way to use this money? I mean, when we consider the amount of money that people spend leaving this country for medical health care, has the time now come for us as a country and as a government to decide that, okay, we are no longer going to teeter around with the idea of national health insurance. We are actually going to fully implement it, fully implement tertiary care, fully upgrade our hospital facilities, move our hospital out of the inner city. I know that there's an IDB report that says that moving the hospital out of downtown Nassau would kill the entire downtown Nassau, but let's face it, downtown is dead, right? Has the time come for us to begin to create the new Bahamas? Are the politicians that are in place now doing everything that they can to create the new Bahamas? Or is the reason we continue to see such stagnation in our budgeting because we continue to budget for a Bahamas that no longer exists? Now, I know that there will be people that will say, right, well, we had Hurricane Dorian and Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Matthew. But for as long as the Bahamas exists, we will have these natural disasters. From now until any government that tells me anything about their inability to govern because of a hurricane, I want to vote them out of office as quickly as I can, because they obviously want to be the government of St. Kitts and Nevis or somewhere where hurricanes don't come. Maybe the Netherlands, right? But if you're going to be prime minister of any one of these countries in this region, then you've got to consider, how do you go about making your country less susceptible to hurricane damage? How do you go about making your people more resilient? How do you go about planning an evacuation plan that may include a country that's not yours? How do you go about funding that? So I've said exactly what I've said before, which is, I don't know if I see enough thoughtfulness coming out of governance. Are we thinking about how to fix the problems that will cause there to be a growth in the way we do business, and as a result, a growth in our domestic product? Then there is the elephant in the room, right? The one that people never like to address. You can call me 323-6232-3254-316, 3254-259. The second elephant in the room is, are we at any point as a nation, over a five-year period, I imagine, going to begin a real conversation about increasing the population of this country? Because I know you all hate to say it. I know it's Voldemort. I know that every time I say something about increasing the population, you all just want to throw salt in the fire and scream, "Oh, bear." But it's true. There is no way that we continue as a country, or that we can continue as a country, where Eleuthera has 3 airports, Long Island has 2 airports, Cat Island won 2 airports. Who else? Bimini gotta have one. Grand Bahama gotta have one. Nassau gotta have one. And Miguana, Long Key don't even have people, but they want an airport. Miguana don't have people either, but they want an airport. And the government of the Bahamas has a fiduciary obligation, right, to duplicate this effort over and over and over and over in places that would, if we lived on a single landmass, that would be considered rural, and the government would technically just leave them to their own accord. But because we live in an archipelago, the government has to provide police services, provide airport services, provide customs services, provide defense force services, provide every other service that would be available here in New Providence. And am I saying that people don't reserve the right to live wherever they want? Not saying that at all. What I am saying is, when you see people like Mr. Bow saying that we've got to figure out a debt management strategy, that is a real conversation. That includes real things that we have to sit down and really talk about. All right? Like, you have to really talk about the cancer. You have to really talk about the bank foreclosing on the house. You have to really talk about the bank coming to repossess the car. And I don't think our politics, the way we do it, I don't think that we are actually really talking about what the problems are. The problems are, we spend money on the things that we no longer need to spend money on, right? Because we don't do good census building around here. We don't take good statistics, if you ask me. I can't, there are so many things. You see it throughout our road building projects, right? So you build a road with dual lanes and sidewalks that have no laybys or no outlets, right? Check it all along Tawny William Darling Highway. They replicated the same silliness down the whole Leonard Blue Hill Road. Then you have a public transportation system where the Department of Transportation is responsible for the equipment, but the Ministry of Works is responsible for the accoutrements. And I can't really understand how that works, because that never, ever, ever leads to any kind of synergy. And so you just have one big hodgepodge of things happening. That then causes there to be a massive amount of money spent, and we never get any efficient working program for it. That's thing number one. Thing number two is 400,000 of us cannot live over 100,000 square miles. We've got to figure that out. We've either got to figure out a way to get these people closer or figure out a way to make this more people. And since you all behemoths are such good Christian Church of God people who don't like to make little Christians, we are going to have to figure out a way to recruit a bigger population. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. To hit back up with your thing earlier about all these airports at all these different family islands, and we need to cut down on that. I'm going to need to focus on other things. But that's what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like now, and looking back when those airports were functional, do you think we're doing better now than then?
When which airport? Repeat the question. I missed it.
All the family island airports. Less persons in our population. All of the airports were functional.
Mm-hmm.
The government was functional. The Bahamas there was created to keep the Bahamas connected.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't so. Bahamas, they only fly to certain islands, you know? And, I mean, the whole intention, what it is, I mean, like, we could have 10 people on an island, and if they're Bahamian and we're looking to have diversity, because diversity is we are diverse in here, because we have, like, supposed to be 700 islands, or it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't we'll cut off people. People, I'm talking about Bahamians. I mean, like, it's the essence of what the Bahamas is to each one of those islands. And each one of those islands are different destinations for persons to visit, to have a different experience. When you even listen to the people talk on different islands, persons in the north will talk different from persons in the south or central or whatever. And that's a part of our culture. And when we cut ourselves up in debt, we can't, our families, we can't even get connected. We got to get charter flights and everything to see our own family. You know, it's a disgrace, because for us to be a people, we must be connected. To be connected, we have already had Bahamas there. They're flying to all of the islands. Bahamas there isn't there. It's no effort to try to keep the like Bahamas as a one people. And your inclusion of, well, if Bahamas don't want to make babies, and other people will have to do in our population. Let me tell you something, Levan. You know, right now today we got this COVID thing going on, and they talking about depopulation or whatever. But the bottom line is this, right? You know, if we need just so we don't need no fast growth. We don't need no fast growth and a bunch of people to deplete our resources and everyone looking at everyone's face and thing, because no one has nothing. You know, we've been living simple a long time, and you know we didn't. Why is it now such, I'm talking about an effort to try to include, I mean, anybody, to say we're increasing our population? It doesn't make any sense. Because at the end of the day, we shouldn't even call ourselves Bahamas if we're not basically grown and born Bahamian, man. You know?
Well, caller, here's my only problem, right? And I listen to you, so I hopefully you give me an opportunity to hear, so you could hear me. Okay, you talked about the diversity of the Bahamian population, the way we're spread out across these rocks, right? It is now been accepted as a fact that the Caribbean itself is grossly underpopulated. It is one of the challenges we face in this region.
Mr. Miller,
hold on.
Paradoxically speaking, right?
Uh-huh.
You're a seaman, right?
Uh-huh.
The borders end of the Caricom region, the south coast of Cuba,
mm-hmm.
all right? And that's where the basin is.
Mm-hmm.
And this inclusion, let me tell you something, yeah? When I think about all this CARICOM business and all that, the CARICOM entity, to me, it seems to be only, well, Caribbean people, what they do, they come and carry and go, all right? They
came
here, they carry.
But we have agreed, right, to be a part of that grouping, so.
Well, I tell you what, we didn't agree to be a part of the grouping. Persons who cut treaties, deals, and whatever, they go over. And
you mean the people that you've elected?
Whoever do it.
That's my point. So we send them there to agree on our behalf, and they have.
No, no, they have the consent, but that's what we want. Because, you know, from 73, the direction of this country was never for the Bahamian populace to really, you know, collaborate together and say, well, okay, we want to go in this direction. We want to go in that direction. We hire these persons who are elect persons to be in office on our behalf, a proxy, okay? And they ain't doing what we want.
So, again, so let's go back to my original statement. My original statement was we've got to figure out a plan out of this, because the one that we currently have is unsustainable. It is unsustainable. There's no way I could continue to sustain 3 airports in Eleuthera. I don't care what the people in Eleuthera tell me. There's no way I could sustain 2 airports in Long Island. I don't care what they tell me.
Okay. Let me give an extra example. Just last week, right? So we can't sustain our own, right? But there's a meeting with Eugene Nuri, the Penfield, and the Haitian ambassador, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to come to terms with what's going on around here. And also, in their conclusion, you know, well, what they got to do is get this COVID thing ready, but we want to promote Haitian tourism. I mean, come on, man. What is it supposed to be? We got enough Haitian inside this town already doing whatever they want. We need to get two persons in this town who can help us, man.
And again, I'm not saying, my argument to you is we've got to figure out how to put citizens in this country. I don't care where you get them from. We have to decide what type we want, what status we want, what we want them to come here and do. How are we going to inculcate them or incorporate them into our societal fabric? And how are we going to make that work for us in a way that it grows our economy? As it stands today, right, we continue to want from the government, right? We want the government to put in roads. Do you know, and to his credit, God bless his heart, I think he's working and doing a yeoman's job. But do you know one of the largest wastes of money I think we've spent in the last 5 years? This running fresh water through Orleans Family Island. For what? Are you telling me that I'm going to... How are we going to recoup the cost of running 60, 40, 30 miles of pipe from this one point to nowhere trying to get water to some people up in the back of the bush? I just don't know if we can continue to do government that way. And it's terrible when you hear it. It hits your palate kind of off. You don't like the way it sounds. Yes, Mama and Colonel of Crooked Island is equally a Bahamian as me here in the city. But we've got to figure something out. Either we got to figure out a way to populate Crooked Island, or we got to find out a way to get Mama closer to us. And it's very simple. Because economies, right, usually are funded by the people in the economy. And if there's only 13 of them there, what is this 60 miles of pipe for? The same is to be said when I go to places like Kidd Island. There is a place in Kidd Island called Dean Stretch. It's almost 15 or 20 miles of nothing. But they have high tension power cables running the whole length trying to get light up to 20 of them in the back there in Port Howe. Not that 20 of them don't deserve to live in Port Howe, but 20 of them have to either decide whether or not they want to generate their own light through clean means, or whether they want to live without light, because the government cannot continue to afford this. It's all I'm saying. And this is why I say we've got to work on our statistics, right? We've got to figure out what will it take. How will we get it done? And I hear the politicians in the parliament, and I don't blame them. They have to tap dance in order to keep the people in these constituencies happy, right? But I heard the member of parliament for South Eleuthera say, no way will we ever agree to have our airport taken. You're talking about a 30 or 40 mile drive. Man, let's don't talk nonsense. Because when you all go to Florida, if the ticket between Miami and Fort Lauderdale is $15 cheaper, you landing in Lauderdale and you could just drive a half hour back to Miami. What is the difference? What is the difference? If the ticket between Atlanta and Jacksonville is $40 cheaper, you are simply going to take a plane into Jackson and drive to Atlanta. What is the difference? It's the same 40 miles or more. Let's take another call. Good morning, Carly. You're on. Carly, you there?
Yes, good morning, Legon. How you doing?
I feel great.
Oh, that's great. It was a good conversation this morning. My little input I wanted to make, you talk about bringing people in that could perhaps spur the growth economically within the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a problem to some extent because we have to really be really careful. You know, us as Bahamians, we put a lot of light on the Haitians and them coming here and what they do, and because we see them on MoneyGram and how much money they send out of the countries, blah, blah, et cetera. But, you know, my concern, and especially for Nassau,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not, is that we have a major Chinese population here. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know where they be. You don't see them out on the street. You don't see nothing. But having moved back here to Nassau and going through all the little urban areas, especially bars and the little convenience stores, and it's like they are just have totally taken over that market. I don't know, having grown up here in Nassau, we ever had that much Chinese that was born here in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But every little mom and pop operation opened, and they are the only set of people. I am saying this because I am shocked too as a businessman
mm-hmm.
that can have a multiplicity of licenses in one building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want people to come, but they are actually taking over the little small markets that the little small Bahamian people should be in charge of.
I agree.
I know, like, they probably go to the little Bahamian people and offer them more money than they ever seen, but even as Bahamians, you have to realize that we are selling out our birthrights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the Chinese could own the whole of East Street and the whole of Wolf Road, and now they're back in the Joe Feigen Road, and then on Carl Carmichael Road.
I did a show on this. I did a show on this a couple of weeks back, right? About how the entire, East Street is the only street on this island that runs from water to water. It is no other street in the island does that, right? And if you look along East Street, 75%, I would say, of the businesses on East Street are Chinese owned. And even the ones that had Bahamian faces, if you check the backdrop, the Chinese are in the background, right? And funny enough, that doesn't bother any of us, right? But we get upset, like you said, with the smaller people. And you know what? I really believe that it's self-loathing. I think it is black people hating black people. That's what I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a problem when anyone else does it. There have been foreigners that have eaten up millions of dollars in construction around here as well. And mm-hmm. Bahamians don't seem to have difficulties with that. We only seem to have a difficulty with those people that do the remedial taskings, and I can't figure that out because when I visit places like Turks and Caicos, I can tell you this. Turks Islanders are not interested in remedial work. They don't do it. They don't do busboy jobs, and you do not go into a restaurant in Turks and Caicos and the person serving you is Turks Islander.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right? And so Bahamians have got to figure out, okay, how do we want to build this model? Do we want to build a plantation model, which I think will work here? But I think in the Bahamas, we do a reverse plantation model. The plantation model suggests that the people that live in the country build plantations and then invite foreigners to work on the plantations to be able to, grow the plantation and kind of build the economy. But in the Bahamas, we kind of do it inverted, which is we let the foreigner come here, i.e. Bahama, Atlantis, Sandals, Breezes, So we let the foreigner come and build the plantation, and then we take the locals and we use the locals to work the plantation. And I don't understand that model because there's no way to become Bahamian millionaires that way.
Well, my other contribution to this, what I've realized, Levan, is that because what we see with our eyes, we believe. And so we see the Haitians lined up at MoneyGram and all these other places sending the money to the country.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chinese sending the money to the country too. They're just sending the money around.
Well, they're sending it somewhere.
I guess they go into the bigger institutions. And obviously that money is not being kept in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bahamian public also have to realize that the Chinese come and they are sending the money to the countries. The big foreign people comes that owns out west and out east and this over, and the money that they make from here, they send to the U.S. The big multilateral minimum companies that they have here, their monies go to the U.S.
Yeah.
We have to decide how exactly we fit.
And let's don't play crazy. The Canadian banks tote quite a bit of money out of here.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of money in a truck that they carry to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
For years and years and years. When I was a boy, it was that way.
Yeah. I'm going to end on this, because mm-hmm. I don't take up much time.
Sure.
My thing, too, as well, it's amazing that you should mention that, because I have sent my son to school in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there one time, and I didn't carry sufficient Canadian, sufficient U.S. money.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to change some of my Bahamian dollars I had into Canadian, be able to spend. And I went to the Royal Bank of Canada in Canada. And they said to me, say, sorry, we don't buy Bahamian dollars. We buy Barbados dollars. The only nation from the dollars we buy in the Caribbean is Barbados.
Mm.
I say, y'all own the banking industry in the Bahamas, and y'all don't trade or buy Bahamian dollars?
Mm.
I mean, for the life of me, I couldn't understand that. I say, well, the only banks we got in the Bahamas is
Canadian banks, yeah.
It's Canadian bank, but they don't take... Bahamian money. I had to go into the little international trading thing in the airport to try to change some money. But the Canadian banks in Canada do not buy Bahamian dollars. And this is the things that we have to look at. So we have to see who we want in our country and how we are going to benefit and stop selling out our birthright to foreigners.
I appreciate you, caller.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And, you know, I hear the PLP say things like we've got to have big and bold ideas, the kind of ideas that created the National Insurance Board, the kind of ideas that created the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. This new generation of politicians have got to come up with big ideas. And they continue to say that, right? I consider it all to naught. Why? Because the word big doesn't mean that what you think about is big. It seems to me as though we have repetitive thinking. And I like people like Gowan Bo, but I can't save a dollar out of 50 cents, Gowan. So unless we figure out a way to kind of not have to spend the 50 cents at all, or unless we figure out a way to grow the 50 cents, it's still just be 50 cents no matter how I try to shuffle it around. Don't go anywhere. My break is up. This is Levin Miller, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be back after the break.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. How you doing?
Hey, Sparky.
Right there. Listen to this. I asked two friends of mine. One works to Doctor's Hospital. One works to PMH.
Mm-hmm.
So basically our main hospitals in the city. Other than that, you got to go to Life-A-Key Hospital out there. And only certain people go there. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right on point at the moment?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. I've asked them in regards to the Chinese population, because every time you go around a Chinese bar, food store, or they even got one on Wolf Road by Annex Baptist Church, and the owner of those two buildings owns a tailor shop next door with some Mercedes, Benz, and Lexus park in the front of it all the time. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Inside that particular bar, what advertisers collect all over the building,
mm-hmm.
Inside there, you could buy food at a restaurant. You could buy clothes at a portion of the place. You could also buy retail and wholesale liquor inside that place on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Which Bahamian you still got a license like that?
I don't know, but I'll tell you, Sparky, over the weekend what I thought was interesting. You know, we had the holiday weekend just passed, right?
Hold on, don't cut me yet. Please, uh-huh. Don't cut me yet.
No, I talking to you. We talking.
Yeah.
And I only just learned the other day that liquor stores weren't allowed to be open on holidays. I didn't know that. Right? Like, if you have a liquor store license, you shouldn't be open on a holiday.
Oh, really?
I just learned that over the weekend, right?
But the Chinese up on Prince Charles.
But the Chinese, them don't close. Holiday, don't holiday. Whatever you call the day, they open.
But the thing is, the Bahamian Palace had their front door closed, but their back door open.
But I'm saying to you, right?
The Chinese had their front door open.
Aha. That's what I'm saying to you.
But okay, getting to what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Bahamian, now apparently they just go to the Minister of Immigration or the Prime Minister and get special license.
I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I'm just saying that I only realized it this weekend.
I can finish with this, man. Mm-hmm. I asked two friends of mine, one week the doctor's hospital, one week the PMH. They don't see Chinese come to the PMH or doctor's hospital. They don't see no Chinese baby born in any of them hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to Chinese restaurant, every time you go there, you see a new Chinese. And they're young.
And they look at they born 18. Yeah, they look at they born 18.
Yeah, they look at they and not only that, they born to count without computer or cash register. They just look at what you got until that's 1825.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
The point is, where this come from? Somebody tell me this come on them 40-foot container.
I don't have no proof of that, Sparky.
It's a sign saying, handle with care, this side up. Have a good day.
Appreciate you. 323-622-3253-416. 325-4259. You can send me a text message. Let me read a couple of these text messages before the text police come and get me. Because you know, they just try to test my little bit of anointing. Levin, I agree with most of your points. Most countries on Earth are experiencing birth rate decline, but we have to make sure there is a legal, organized process to increase those declining populations. Otherwise, it will be chaos and cultural resentment. I don't disagree with that. I thoroughly agree with that point. I'm saying the Bahamas has got to figure out what does it want. I think it was FDR that built the plantation model. You could go Google this. I think it's 1932, got America out of the Great Depression. I think it's a pretty decent model. We could kind of look into it and decide if that's what we want. I'm no economist. I don't claim to be an economist. I claim to be somebody with a brain that works, that can read. And so I've read it, and it makes sense to me. And I think I've witnessed it in Turks Island. I think Turks Island, outside of Toronto, I'm coming to you right now, caller. Outside of Toronto, I think Turks Island is the most functioning melting pot I've ever been to, and it is a glorious thing to witness how the Turks Islanders have this wonderful marriage between Turks Island owners and Haitian, Bahamian, Dominican laborers. And Turks Islanders don't fold sheets. They don't do that kind of stuff. Next text right here says, you want big ideas? Let's start growing grouper, conch, wilks, and sea cucumbers. This one says, let's compare the cost on this economy between Chinese and Bahamians. Most of these Chinese are Bahamians, so they are entitled to start whatever business they are doing business as required by law, as compared to Haitians doing business in shantytowns. Stop deflecting. Shantytowns have whole malls operating, no business license, no building codes, no VAT payments, etc. It has nothing to do with color. Stop it. And I arguably, most of the people in the shantytowns are Bahamians. That ain't my words, that's the Minister of Labor. Let's say the call. Come on and call, you're on. Hey, how are you?
Yeah, with respect to those airports, like I'll refer to, like in Saudi Lucha, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the point that you're making. It is a valid point, but it cannot, under present circumstances, not feasible. The reason being is that when I and you fly away to the U.S., we go there for a brief, maybe once or twice, maybe three times a year. But when you're talking about someone have to drive to an airport 40, 50 miles, on a continuous basis, and you're asking the whole community to do that, that is extremely costly. Now, what can happen with airports is that if we, like the public partnership agreement, that is excellent, but what government need to put more emphasis on is that if you can reduce the cost of doing business in terms of this oil consumption, because PPL owe $400 to $500 million just to run those generators. That make no sense.
Mm.
And on top of that, sir, they're saying that we should have a 30% renewable energy by 2030. That is seeing.
I know, yeah, I don't foresee
in this
that.
Climate because yeah. we have the best climate in the world.
Mm-hmm.
All of those islands can be on its own solar plant.
No, I agree.
In Lutra in particular, we can use by the glass window bridge. We have enough current in that area that can deal with the Lutra and maybe another island combined. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason. It's just greed on behalf of past and present politicians, and they just continue to feed the oil merchants and put every one of us at a disadvantage. This country could do far better if we get away from this dependency of oil, because the entire world by 2040 is going to be totally just about off oil completely. I don't know what it is. People talk about big ideas. Big ideas, that's a big idea. Let's get that done.
I appreciate you, caller. And to the point of the 30 to 40 miles, I would hear your argument, except for in the fact of Grand Bahama, people drive from East End Grand Bahama to the one airport in Grand Bahama. They also drive from West End Grand Bahama to the one airport in Grand Bahama. When you get to places like Abaco, outside of the Sandy Point airstrip, people drive from wherever they are in Abaco to the one airport in Abaco. So I can't justify all these smaller populations with these 3, 4, and 5 airports. 4 and 5 was an exaggeration. Leaving the PLP nor the FNM have any serious plans in the Bahamas. Here we are in a hurricane belt. You would think they would have moved away from putting up wooden poles and overhead wires. What does this say? Exactly. Chinese in Marathon and Robinson Road. Convenience stores also. This is a problem. And they put black people to interface with the customers but peek out every now and again. Mr. Miller, the headlines in The Guardian says government secures $100 million loan. Half of that is going to bolster our foreign reserves. Some of it will go towards government salary overdraft, some towards recurrent expenditure, and the balance for COVID recovery. It's the election loan, my brother. I don't know if I disagree with that. This person here is saying, good morning, Miller. It's Force Chief Petty Officer Dola. These promotions, they happen so quickly, I just don't be aware. My apologies, Force Chief Petty Officer. Please accept my humblest of apologies. It's Force Chief Petty Officer Thomas Williams, who was responsible for the dive academy down there at the National Training Agency that has been put in place to try and train Bahamian divers in a dying market that is the fishing industry of the Bahamas, because our sons don't know how to go get conch. Y'all won't go get aragonite. No one teach y'all how to go get conch. Aragonite in God knows how much further water, right? Kermit, you could dive conch. If you go off a chip channel key, you could dive conch in about 9 foot of water. Before you could put your fins under the water, you on top of the conch. But our sons can't go for that. And they must go for aragonite. Manuel, let's get serious. So we've got to figure out ways to grow the economy, right? We've got to figure out different ways. I suggest, I hope that in this budget cycle and in budget cycles to come, what I will see is more strategic spending. And hopefully that spending is driven by census and statistics. Outside of that, I hope we see things like population growth. And if not population growth, if not a plan toward population growth, then a plan toward shrinking population sparsity. Last text as I leave. Brother Miller, how much hundreds of millions or maybe even billions the Dominicans can make of our fisheries? Can you investigate that? We need to tap into that. I have to engage you concerning our economy later when you have another open line. All right. Well, that's my music, which means that's my time. I'm Leaving Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Station for Fresh News and Smart Talk. News starts now.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.